If you have a Bible with you, I would like for you to turn this morning to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. We're going to begin here, and we'll be back and forth in this passage. We have some other passages we're going to look at. But Luke chapter 22. I'd like to read verses 7 through 13. Luke 22, verse 7. You follow along with me as I read. So then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, that is, the Passover lamb. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" Jesus said to them, "Behold, when you have entered into the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher or master says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large, furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, there is a lot more involved in preparing the Passover than what you may realize. Notice, he selected two of the disciples, Peter and John, and he said, "Now, I'd like for the two of you to go make preparation so that we can observe the Passover later. What all was involved in that? It's easy to read these words and not grasp, well, what does that mean? What does that entail? They're supposed to prepare the Passover? So they did what? Well, one of the first things they had to do is go get the lamb. And the lamb has to be sacrificed. And there's a ceremony involving that. And then, of course, they're going to use that as part of the Passover dinner celebration. Let's take a look at that. I want you to see in the Old Testament where it talks about choosing the lamb and then having the lamb sacrificed. Would you turn to Exodus chapter 12? So I guess my first question that we're answering is, so what did they need to do? Exodus 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we read these words. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself or select a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household's too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb.' Now watch this. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." In other words, what they were to do, and all of this would have already taken place, there was a lamb to be selected. But remember, God wants this lamb to be a lamb that is perfect, because this is going to picture Jesus, his son. So they were to watch the lamb for these 4 days. Watch for what? Well, make sure it didn't develop any sicknesses. It couldn't be a lamb that in some way was, ill. or a lamb that just was imperfect. They needed to watch it, make sure this is a perfect lamb for sacrifice. Then they would take it and they would sacrifice the lamb. They would kill it. This lamb is going to, the meat is going to be used as a part of the Passover that they're going to observe together. So they're going to eat of this lamb. So they also had to do something else. Look at verse 7. They shall take, so this is what Peter and John would have been involved in. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. They do what? They are to take the blood of that lamb and they are to place it on the two side frames of the door of the house where they're going to eat the lamb. You put the blood on both sides of the door and on the lintel above. This is just me and what I think of when I see that. I'm not saying this is what the scripture teaches per se, but every time I think about that, remember, every house where they're going to observe the Passover, so if it's at your house, you had to put blood here and here and here. Oh my goodness, it's almost like I see a cross, you know. Every house had blood on the door, the blood of the lamb. And you had to observe the Lord's table at your house only if there's blood of the lamb on the door. So it's a picture here. Now notice also, why did they put the blood on the doorpost again? Let me show you. Look at chapter 11 of Exodus. Just drop back a few verses. Chapter 11, verse 4. Then Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight, I, the Lord, will go out in the midst of Egypt. And listen to this. All the firstborn of the land of Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant, who's behind the handmill, the firstborn of all the animals. There will be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Wow. Now go back to chapter 12. Look at verses 12 and 13. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, because I am the Lord." Verse 13. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I strike the land." There is where we get the terminology, the Passover. When Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room, he met with them to observe the Passover. You say, what is the Passover again? Remember, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. Wow, such a horrible experience they went through for hundreds of years. God said he was going to deliver him. And he said, this is what I want you to do. Get a perfect lamb. Sacrifice it. Put the blood on your door. Because I am going to come and I'm going to bring judgment upon the land of Egypt. And every firstborn person in the family is going to die. But he said, if I come to this, your house, and there's blood on the door, the firstborn of that house won't die.
That's right, amen.
And indeed, God did just that. The judgment against the Egyptians, one of the amazing facts of history, the Jewish people being delivered by the blood of the Lamb. But the key was, you've got to put the blood on the door. If I see the blood, I'll pass over that house. Death will not come to the firstborn of that house because death has already come. The Lamb has died in the place of the firstborn. So I'll pass over. See the picture? Let me tell you why. Why this is especially meaningful for me. My mom and dad have four children. Two boys, two girls. I am the oldest of four. Of the four. I'm the firstborn. Had I been in Egypt, mom and dad, God said, put the blood, kill the lamb and put the blood on the door. We are. Because I would have been the one that would have been struck dead. That really makes that passage live. If you happen to be the firstborn, it means a lot now when you listen to that. But God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over that house. Because death has already come to that house. The Lamb died in our place. You see the picture of Jesus? See where he sang about him being the Lamb of God? Jesus Christ came into this world and died on the cross in our place so that we don't die eternally. And so he's the Passover Lamb. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus said to his disciples, I want to have Passover with you. Okay, John, Peter, you need to go get things ready. When they met in that upper room, there was blood on the door of that house. Because that's what the Bible taught. So they had to go get the lamb. Prepare the house. Oh, there's more. Because if you look in your Bibles in Exodus, let me show you the three original elements that were on the Passover table. Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. Verse 7 said to put the door on the door, the blood on the doorposts and a lintel over the door. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire. That's the lamb. So Peter, John, the lamb was killed. They put the blood on the door. They then prepared, and the lamb was on the table. That's what they're going to eat, the lamb. So you have the lamb. Here's the second element. Unleavened bread. And here's the third element. Bitter herbs. They shall eat it. On the original Passover table. Now, I've talked to Jewish friends. And when they observe Passover, they have more elements on the table today than this teaches. There are reasons why they added some things through the years. But the original Passover table had three elements. The lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. By the way, the Bible explains why they had bitter herbs on the table. When they ate those bitter herbs, they were so bitter, it would make tears come to your eyes. If you ever ate anything really bitter, and God said, I want you to eat those bitter herbs to remember what it was like to be in slavery in Egypt before I redeemed you. Don't forget what you were. Don't forget what you were, folks. I mean, I sometimes I wish we could just stand and have testimony after testimony, because I would hear, as I look at some of you, I know your testimony. And you would say, yeah, let me tell you what I was and where I was and what I was doing. Yeah, I remember what I was, how bitter it was. Thank God Jesus saved me and changed me. So there was the lamb, the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs. And of course, they had a cup to drink. Why unleavened bread? Once again, sometimes the terminology is not familiar to us, as it is to maybe Jewish people. Why unleavened bread? That means bread without the yeast. The bread doesn't rise. I mean, if you make a cake, I don't do that, but there's certain things you put in it, and the dough will rise, right? God said, no. No leaven. Don't put that in there. Let me tell you why. I'm going to show you. If you have your Bibles, look at Exodus 12, verse 39. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they had brought out of Egypt. It was not leavened. Why? Here comes the word, because. Because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. God says, I'll tell you why I want you to have unleavened bread on the Passover table. Because I don't want you to forget that when I told you I was going to deliver you, it happened in a hurry. I came and you had to immediately leave. There wasn't time for the bread to rise. You had to go immediately. And so when they ate that unleavened bread, it reminded them, wow, the bitter herbs, oh, the tears, how horrible it was. And God did it in a hurry. He came and he redeemed us with the blood, and we left. And so the unleavened bread, it would be sort of like more like a cracker than it would be soft dough, soft bread. That's the idea. By the way, leaven also was a symbol of evil. Unleavened bread, there's the symbol, no evil, to be a part of this. Do you remember Corinthians says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? In other words, if you start having disunity in the church, you're going to have problems. And it'll spread. This person starts, yeah, 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 and then they tell this person. And the next thing you know, a little bit of leaven ruins the whole lump of the church, the whole group. And so we shouldn't have that kind of stuff going on. So the three original elements on the table, the lamb, the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread. Now the passage is going to take on a little bit more meaning. Now let us go back to Luke 22. Luke 22. In Luke chapter 22, notice if you will, at verse 14. Now we read verses 7 through 13 where Jesus said, Peter, John, I want you to go prepare the Passover so that we can observe Passover together. And so they went and they got the lamb. They prepared the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread. They put blood on the door. And verse 14. When the hour had come, so this is much later in the day, Jesus sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, with deep desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. When I read that, I say, oh my goodness. I want to eat this Passover before I suffer. I, the Passover lamb, am serving you this supper, which pictures me. This lamb pictures me, and I'm the one who's going to suffer and die for you. So he says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Now, you need to mark your Bibles. That is not talking about the Lord's Supper, what we're doing right here. What I just read to you is the Passover part of it. And this is what is so fascinating, amazing, thought-provoking. They gather for Passover. The lamb, the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, and a cup to drink. And just when they probably thought, well, we just finished Passover, Jesus reaches onto the Passover table for the unleavened bread. Now remember, leaven is a picture of sin. A picture of sin. One of the things that they were also had to do, they had to get rid of all the leaven in the house. They were to take all the yeast out, get rid of it all. It's a picture of getting rid of the sin. The unleavened bread. So Jesus reached onto the Passover table just when they thought the meal was over, and he picked up the unleavened bread. And watch what he says. Verse 19. And he took bread, that's the unleavened bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, and he said, watch this. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He just took the unleavened bread off of the Passover table and said, this bread is my body. And they listened and they partook. This is This is where we are today. We are not here observing the Passover. I sometimes refer to this, respectfully so. The Lord's table is the dessert of the Passover, in the sense that they had finished the Passover meal, but then Jesus reached for one of the Passover elements, the unleavened bread, and said, "This is my body, which is going to be broken and given for you." What a nice picture. Unleavened bread pictures leaven is sin, but there's no leaven in the bread. Jesus said, "This is my body." There was no sin in Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So I want you to take off of the small portion of your cup, okay? The little, and if you pull that back, you're going to see a little wafer. What's that?
Unleavened?
Well, yes, unleavened. Close as we could get it. Yeah. Notice, this is what Jesus reached for on the and took it off the Passover table and gave it new significance. This pictures his body. And just think of it. He was sinless. Unleavened. What a beautiful picture of the body that he took upon himself. God came into this world by means of the virgin birth. He was distinctly different from us. We all have a father and a mother. He already had a father. He didn't need an earthly father. He had only Mary. The Virgin Mary.
That's right.
The virgin birth. Because he had a sinless body. Lord, we could not be more thankful that you came into this world. Oh God. You, God, came into this world and took upon yourself a body, so that you could go to the cross and shed your blood from that body, give your body as a sacrifice for our sins, so that our sins would be paid and we would have an entrance into heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's all eat together. And then Jesus reached the Passover table again. I try to put myself back. Imagine if you'd been in the upper room and the disciples are like, I mean, this has never been heard before. He just told us that this is picturing his body. And then he reaches for the cup. And he says, in Luke 22, verse 20, "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper," meaning after the Passover supper, "and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant or new testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" To which they were thinking, this is a picture. The lamb's blood was shed. Jesus said, "This is my blood." That lamb was only a picture. And the Passover lamb is sharing with them about the blood of the Passover lamb of the Old Testament. And he's simply saying to them, "I am that lamb. I'm the true lamb of God." No wonder John the Baptist looked at him and said, "Behold," when he saw Jesus for the first time, "Behold, the Lamb of God." They understood what that meant. That takes away the sin of the world. That lamb in the Old Testament was only a picture, a portrait. Watch it, make sure it's perfect. Shed its blood, put it on the door. And so Jesus said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." It's a picture. And he says in other passages, "This do. Do this in remembrance of me." And I know I repeat this constantly, but it's important. When he said, "You eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me. Drink this cup to remember me." He did not say, "Eat this bread so you'll go to heaven." He did not say, "Drink this cup so you'll go to heaven." That's not what he said. That's not in the Bible anywhere. I'm not depreciating this, but I'm telling you, this is a picture. He said, "Do this to remember me, that on the cross I died and shed my blood to save your soul." Oh, Lord, once again, we pause just to thank you. We can't ever fully grasp even the crucifixion, but we know that you were dying for us. Even though it was 2,000 years ago, you had us in mind, those of us who are gathered right here. You were dying for each of us. Oh, God, thank you for saving us. Let's all drink together. Well, I hope from now on, when you think about the bread and the cup, you see the connection to the Old Testament, to the Passover. And how wonderful that they got to meet with the Passover Lamb, and the Passover Lamb instituted the Lord's Supper. That's why I called the message, "The Passover Lamb instituted the Lord's Supper." What a beautiful, beautiful picture. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today to thank you once again for what you've done for us.